And we're going to look tonight at verse number 15. Proverbs 15, verse 15. The Bible says this to us. All the days of the afflicted are evil, but he that is of a merry heart hath a continual feast. Father, thank you for your word. Instruct us, guide us, and open your word to us tonight by the Holy Spirit. We pray, Father, in the Lord Jesus' name and for His sake. Amen. Y'all can all be seated. Okay. The Bible says, all the days of the afflicted are evil, but he that is of a merry heart hath a continual feast. Well, okay. Let's define some words and see what it is we're looking at. Let's define the word afflicted. The word afflicted in the dictionary means this. It means affected with continued or often repeated pain, either of body or mind. It means to suffer grief or distress of any kind. So afflictions can be physical. Afflictions can be mental. They can be emotional, spiritual. Anything that causes you continued pain, suffering, or distress of any kind. Again, it can be something physical. A physical malady can affect you and cause you grief and be an affliction to you. It can be something that mentally, something that torments your mind, something that affects your emotions, a spiritual something that can be an affliction to you, a wrong spiritual state, and it causes you grief and distress and pain. The word evil, because our text says that all the days of the afflicted are evil. Now, most of the time when we think of the word evil, we think, well, wait a minute, brother, also, if you're afflicted, how does being bad have to do with that? No. There's two definitions of evil. If you look it up in Webster's 1828 dictionary, there's natural evil and moral evil. Moral evil is how we usually use the term evil. In other words, doing bad, being bad, doing wrong. Natural evils are things such as disasters, pains in the body, just bad things that happen, bad situations that happen. In fact, I'll define it for you. Evil, one of the definitions of evil is this. It means unfortunate, unhappy, producing sorrow, distress, injury, or calamity. Now, with those words defined, we see the Bible says all the days of the afflicted are evil. We can thus say that all the days of the afflicted are unhappy. They're full of distress. They're full of sorrow. Okay? So when a person, listen, when a person is in affliction, it may be physical. It may be mental. It may be emotional, whatever. When a person is afflicted, all the days of that affliction, all those days are days of evil. Not wrongdoing, but days of unhappiness, days of sorrow. All right? Now, I think I'm going to be able to show you tonight that it doesn't necessarily have to be that way. All right? Then this would have to be that way. But unless something changes, days of affliction are evil days. They're days of sorrow. They're days of sadness. They're days of distress. All right? The Bible says all the days of the afflicted are evil. As long as that affliction's there, it produces sorrow and pain and misery and such as that. While that affliction is resting upon the individual, those are evil days. But yet the next part of the verse says, but he that is of a merry heart hath a continual feast. Wow. Well, there is something. The feast continually. Just eat to your heart's content. That's wonderful. We can't quite do that. These bodies aren't made for that. You know that'd be one thing about heaven to be wonderful? You don't have to worry about that kind of stuff anymore. You will eat. The Bible speaks of it such as that. But you don't have to worry about that stuff no more. You don't have to worry about it being unhealthy or too much. Or you have a body that can handle all that. But the word feast means that which delights and entertains. The word feast in the dictionary means that which delights and entertains. So he that is of a merry heart hath a continual feast. He's in a state of continual delight. Continually entertained. A lightness. Happiness is there. So, as we see here, an afflicted person has unhappiness all the days of his affliction, whilst a man with a merry heart is in a continual state of delight. Now, you probably understand a lot of this because you've been afflicted before. You've had pain in the body, and it's hard to be happy with that pain. You've had pain, mental pain. You've had emotional pain. You've had different things that have afflicted you, and those were evil days. Those were evil days. Those were days of unhappiness, days of sorrow, days of sadness. All right. But I want to put a question to you tonight, and then we'll try to answer it. How can one go from the sorrow of affliction to a merry heart? How can one go from the sorrow of affliction to a merry heart? A lot of times people will tell you, well, just snap out of it. That's impossible to do. You can't do that. You can't just snap out of something. All right? But how can you go, though, from a state of affliction, from the sorrow of affliction, to a merry heart? Well, I'll tell you one way. One way is the removal of the affliction. One way is the removal of the affliction. But that doesn't always happen. Okay? I mean, it's never wrong to pray and say, Lord, I'm afflicted. You know I'm afflicted. God, I would love some relief. Could you remove this problem? But the Lord won't always do that. He won't always do that because He loves us and there's some things we need to learn in our affliction. Okay, so you've got, that's where faith and trust steps in, and you've got to trust God. But one way to go from the sorrow of affliction to a merry heart is for the affliction, the source of the affliction, to be removed. Think about it. When the pain is gone, oh, what a relief, huh? I mean, brethren, sometimes when pain is gone, the relief feels so good. You might not quite say it was worth it, but it just feels so good. Man, when you have hurt, and then that hurt is gone. Now, I mean, it may be a physical thing, you know. I mean, well, yeah, you ever had a physical problem, you know, a cramp or a stomach ache or a splinter or something, some kind of pain. Boy, when that pain is gone, oh, yeah, you're a happy person, bud. You know, where if it hadn't been for the pain, you'd have kind of been probably neutral that day. When that pain's gone, you are happy. You're like, well, let's go get some ice cream. Let's go celebrate. Let's go. I am happy. The pain is gone. All right? It just feels better. Take your Bible. Go to 2 Corinthians 1. 2 Corinthians 1. 2 Corinthians 1. 2 Corinthians 1, verse 5. 2 Corinthians 1, verse 5 says this. For as the sufferings of Christ abound in us, and they do, brethren, if we're going to live for the Lord like we're supposed to, the Bible says all that live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. If we'll live for the Lord like we're supposed to, brethren, we're going to know of the sufferings of Christ. We'll experience some of the alienation that He suffered, some of the false accusation that He suffered, some of the misunderstanding that He suffered, and at times even some of the physical attacks and such as that He suffered. That happens to the believers. But we'll suffer from family, from friends, from others. We'll suffer the alienation, the misunderstanding, the false accusations that Christ suffered. Verse 5, for as the sufferings of Christ abound in us, and brethren, we need to ask ourselves, if the sufferings of Christ aren't abounding in us, then what are we doing wrong? And brother, I'm not saying you've got to seek suffering, but brethren, if we live for the Lord like we should, the Bible says, yea, all that will live godly in Christ Jesus, shall suffer persecution. All right. For as the sufferings of Christ abound in us, so our consolation also aboundeth by Christ. You see? Along with the sufferings comes something real special. A fellowship with the Lord that can be had in no other way. You see, when you suffer for Christ, there's an intimacy that you find with Him that can be found no other way, and it's precious. Because through His Spirit, He conveys to you, I know exactly what you're going through. I've been there. I can comfort you. And it's special. It's precious to you. If your family rejects you for the gospel, the Lord understands. If your friends misunderstand you and have nothing to do with you, the Lord understands. If you're falsely accused, if you're done wrong, if people hate, you know, the Lord understands. And that consolation can be so precious. Alright? Because there's a fellowship there. The Bible speaks of the fellowship of His sufferings. Alright, but look at verse 6. And whether we be afflicted, It is for your, and Paul's talking to the brethren at Corinth. He said, whether we be afflicted, it is for your consolation and salvation, which is effectual in the enduring of the same sufferings which we also suffer. Or whether we be comforted, it is for your consolation and salvation. And our hope of you is steadfast, knowing that as ye are partakers of the sufferings, so shall ye be also of the consolation. All right, if you're suffering for Christ's sake, you know what? You're going to also be a partake of the consolation. In other words, you're going to be consoled by Christ. If you're suffering for... Now, brother, if you're not suffering for Him, if you're suffering on your own, the Lord will help you. He'll see you through, but it ain't going to be the same thing as the consolations that come from suffering for His will and in His will. A lot of times, brother, we get ourselves in a mess, and then we like to lie to ourselves and comfort ourselves and say, well, I'm suffering because I'm a Christian and I love God. No, no. Oftentimes, brethren, we suffer because we've just got ourselves in a mess because we're bullheaded. And we've gone our way and done our thing and did what we want to do. We get ourselves in a mess and then we say, well, Lord, I'm yours. I'm going through a rough time and I need... And we did it to ourselves. And what we need then is just, we need mercy. Not so much consolation. Consolation comes when you get someone and you say, you're suffering this for my sake. I love you. I've been through it. I know what it is. And there's just a comfort that the Lord gives you. But brethren, when we go off on our own truck and do what we want and get ourselves in a mess, and then we want to run, we do run to the Lord, but ask for mercy. Be careful if you say, Lord, I'm suffering for you. And you might hear, no, you're suffering because you're stubborn. And you've gone your own way. You've done your own thing. You've got yourself in a mess. All right? And we've got to understand that. All right? But brethren, when we suffer for the Lord, for the Lord, there's something precious that comes along with that, and it's consolation. Listen, brethren, haven't you ever noticed? I mean, I'm not going to say that. I'm not. This is one of those things the world would love to get a hold of and really twist around and pervert it and this and that. But I've always derived a bit of, how can I put it, satisfaction whenever, not that I ever wanted my wife or my children to ever hurt or feel pain, but I always have enjoyed comforting them. I've enjoyed that. I really have. I'm not saying that I wanted them to hurt. Don't get me wrong. Not that. But I sure have. Come on now. It's precious when a little child runs to you and you can comfort them and solace them. Not to spoil them or when they're just looking for attention, but when they're really hurt. Or to take your wife and console and comfort when that's needed, and there's a genuine... That's precious. It I don't know. It feels good. It does. I believe the Lord delights in consoling His children when they need it. God don't spoil His young ones. God don't make brats. He doesn't. That's the reason sometimes you've gone to God. If you're saved, you've gone to God sometimes and you wonder why He didn't comfort you. You didn't need it. You didn't need it. When you needed it, He's there. You see, sometimes it's just like a child who would run to you and hurt. And what they're wanting is picked up and pat, pat, pat. I want the knee to be told, brush it off, dry. Huh? They're okay. What they need is, no, if I do this to you, you're not going to develop any character. You're not going to go wrong. You're not going to go, you're okay. But you know when that child's really hurt. You know yours. Well, you're there to give that comfort and help. Well, brother, look here. God don't make brats. Now, see, if you went every time, you've seen it at times. When a child's real little, they'll give that look to mom and daddy. Is it cry or laugh? Yeah, they fell and hit your head. What's the deal? All right? And if it's like, oh, baby, darling, honey, baby, sweetie, okay. Oh, they're miserable. They're rotten. They're hard. It's hurting. They're about to die. Take them to the hospital. Oh, you're so bad. And you know, and if your attention gets somewhere else, they'll come up to you. Ah, hurt. You know, it just, you know. And a lot of times, if you like, ain't that something? Because it depends. If you make a big deal, they'll start crying. If you laugh, you know, they'll rub it and go on. They're all right. But if they're really hurt, you console them. Now, God don't make brats. He's a better father. He's a better parent than we are. That's a given, okay? And we can learn from Him. But that's the reason it's not as a child of God. If you've gone to God for comfort and you haven't found it, And you're like, well, God, I need it. Let me tell you something. Your Father knows what you need. And if He didn't give what you wanted, it's not that He didn't care. It's because He loved so much. I promise you that. I have had times in my life where I thought, Lord, I need You. Why don't You do what I want You to do and I feel like I need? And I had to accept that God knows better what I needed and trust Him. And I saw that He did know best, of course. But He didn't do what I wanted Him to do. He did not do at times in my life what I begged Him to do and knew He could do, but He would not do it. Because He loved me enough to let me hurt a little bit and do what was better for me. But brethren, when I need it, when I have really needed it, and it wasn't a matter of being spoiled, He gave it to me. He gave me the comfort I needed. And do the same for you and me, for all of us. To partake of the consolation, we must first partake of the suffering. Don't forget that. Okay, so one of the ways to get relief is the removal of the affliction. I mean, you know, you got a thorn in your hand, a splinter, remove it, you feel better. But see, but here's the problem. Here's the problem. And that makes a merry heart. The removal of the affliction makes a merry heart. Okay? But there's a problem with that. It doesn't always happen. I mean, brother, when you've hurt and that pain, you've seen those times you thought, I'm going to die. I'm really going to die. I'm in such pain, I'm going to probably die right here and now. I am in pain. I'm in tremendous pain. And then the pain is relieved. And you're like ready to run around the house. You are so happy. You are. I'm going to tell you, you're a merry heart. Your whole attitude picks up. Why? The source of the affliction is gone. But the only problem with depending on that to give you a merry heart is, again, that doesn't always work because God will not always remove the affliction. So what are you going to do? How are you going to get a merry heart if sometimes God won't remove the affliction? For whatever purposes. Well, we need to find another way. Well, the best way, here's another way. Another way is to wait. Here's another way to remove the affliction is to either wait for the situation to change or wait for our feelings to change. That's not real good, though. See, you're afflicted. And all the days of your affliction, the Bible says all the days of your affliction are evil. They're unhappy, they're full of sorrow. So what we do so often is we wait. We wait for either the situation to change, you know, the affliction to be removed or else something to happen, or else we wait for our feelings to change. Well, maybe I'll feel better about this thing. Maybe I'll feel better about it. Well, that works sometimes, but that's hit and miss. And there's a problem with that. Listen to me. When you wait for either the situation to change or for your feelings to change, the problem is that chains you to your emotions and it chains you to your circumstances and lays a snare for you. You understand me? So if you wait, well, maybe I'll feel better. Maybe I'll just feel better. You just wait for that thing to happen. You become a slave of your emotions now. You're chained to them. If you wait for later, the situation has changed. Now you're a slave of your circumstances. We need to find something a little bit better. Well, I think there's a better way. And believe it or not, I believe we can find it in Romans 12. Go there just a minute. Now, I want you to hold your hand back there in Proverbs 15, and then I want you to look at Romans 12 here with me. Romans 12. Romans 12. Notice what we find in verse 21. Be not overcome of evil, but overcome evil with good. You say, wait a minute, Brother Doss. Well, I believe you are really taking this thing out of context. That verse has to do with the moral evil you mentioned earlier. That verse, that evil has to do with people doing you bad and then you doing them good in return. Exactly. I agree 100% with you. That is it. But there's something here. Notice the word is evil. And that is the word we saw in Proverbs 15. And let me define good for you in the dictionary. It means this. That which contributes to diminish or remove pain, or to increase happiness or prosperity, benefit, advantage, opposed to evil or misery. Ah. So one of the definitions of good fits right in there also. So now our text tonight says, all the days of the afflicted are evil. Bible says, be not overcome of evil, but overcome evil with good. Wow. And see, if you can overcome that, you need your merry heart and have a continual feast. All the days of the afflicted are evil. How do you overcome it? Now, I said one of the ways, and the way most of us wait for it is for the affliction to be removed. The pain to stop. The situation to change, whatever. But that doesn't always work. So what do you do? How can you get that merry heart? The Bible says, be not overcome of evil. Overcome evil with good. I mean, that's how you do if somebody's doing you dirty. That's how you overcome. See, the world can't get this. The world never figures it out. The world never figures it out. Because the lost. The world never figures out that the way you overcome somebody doing you evil is you do them good. You'll break them to pieces. You do somebody good when they're doing you evil, one of two things will happen. They'll get saved or they will get out of your life. Either way, the problem gets solved. I'm serious. You know, the Bible says, soft answer turneth away wrath. The world don't understand that. They can't grasp that. You and I are supposed to. We're supposed to grasp that and implement it and do it. But I'm looking at it tonight concerning this way of with afflictions that cause, you know, things such as, it may be physical, it may be mental, it may be emotional. Those afflictions that cause evil days, unhappy days, sorrowful days, and how to go from that, though, to having a merry heart and a continual feast. All right, listen. If you can't remove the affliction, work on the pain, work on the attitude. Be an overcome of evil, overcome evil, good. Let me ask you something. Haven't you ever noticed that when your mind is off your affliction, you don't notice the pain? Have you ever hurt in your body somewhere? Just a chronic pain. And all of a sudden, you got busy doing something. You either were playing a game or you were doing something, and all of a sudden you're like, whoa, I hadn't had that pain. And I had hurt in the last little. It's when also often your mind gets on it. When your mind gets on it, there it comes. I'll tell you something, brother. This has nothing to do with psychology. It has to do with his truth and common sense. Mind's a powerful thing. The devil knows that. That's why the battleground is there for the mind. It's funny what can just happen so often. But look here. You ever had something and you won't have a pain. You start thinking about it sometimes. Go ahead and start thinking about something. You're liable to, I started feeling something there. Everything's really all right. Sarah was with me when I wrote it. She's allergies. This time of year, allergies tear to pieces. We've noticed that a little bit. She'll be doing fine. And she said today, I hadn't sneezed any. And she started, I'm not kidding you. Within a minute. And it's happened about twice. When she was talking about all of a sudden, their nose start tickling. Just, and there it come. That's kind of, but listen to me. Haven't you ever noticed you'll be in pain? But I mean, it may be you've got an infection, a blister, a hurt arm, something. Mashed fingers. And, if you think about it, you can feel every time your heart, every time a heart beats and throws that blood into that thing, it's just like, a little cartoon, big old red thing. But you get your mind off of it, and you're fine. Surely you've noticed at that time. You got busy and you were just, that's why getting sick at night is so hard, man. Just laying there. And just trying to get some sleep. And that thing in your, and it's like your mind just concentrates on that thing, And a lot of times, if you get up maybe on your read or do something, you're not thinking of it anymore, you can start, now listen to me. If we can't remove the affliction, work on the pain, work on the attitude. Let me give you some hints. Count your blessings. Literally, like the song says, count your blessings. If you're afflicted in your emotions, if you're afflicted in your mind, count the things God has done good for you. Count all the things that you can be happy about. All the things that you can glory in and be thankful to God for. And brethren, there are many of them. At the greatest of all, of course, salvation. To know God. To not have to worry about hell. Most important, just to know Him, have fellowship with Him. The things God has done for you, the ways He's brought you through. I'll count those blessings. When you get your mind on those things, it's easier to get your mind off the thing, the affliction that's troubling you. Hey, here's another thing. Before we get to these other things, pray. That word, pray. Pray. Listen, brethren, when I've gone through afflictions because of all kinds of things, Not just physical afflictions. I'm talking about, man, when you've gone through emotional afflictions and people have hurt you, go pray. You'll do better. You'll get up with some victory. You might be, well, you might have to go pray a couple of times. You might have to spend some time there. But you can get up with victory and get up lighter. I tell you this, if you don't pray, you're not going to get anywhere. You're not going to get anywhere. Go pray. Hey, get busy. Get busy. The old folks did not say in vain that an idle mind is the devil's workshop. Why did they say that? They knew. They knew you got to keep busy. And I don't mean so much with busy work, but find something constructive and good and right to do. And I know, but I don't feel like it. That has nothing to do with it. See, you're trapped. You're snared. You are captive to your emotions. That has nothing to do with it. Brother, so often you see the Lord saying, do this. God doesn't say, if you feel like it, I would really like for you to. God says, do this. God doesn't work on when we feel like. God says, do. It's His command. See what I'm saying? But we work so often, we're so trapped. Well, I don't feel like I'm busy. I just want to sit here and get worse. You want to sit there and get worse and waller and just go down. Get busy. Do something. Do something for God. Do something constructive. Do something for the glory of God. Do something. Listen, I've got down here, do for others. You know the story. It's probably an apocryphal story. You know, it's not really, perhaps didn't really happen, but there's an element of truth in it for sure. A guy went to a Chinese philosopher and said, he was so miserable in his life. He said, I'll tell you what you do. He said, he gave him something, said, here, you go to on a search, and when you find somebody that's worse than you, you give them. And the guy went to see all these people, and he come back awful happy because he found out, I don't have it so bad. Yeah. And brother, here's the thing. Get busy doing for other people. You know what that does? It gets you out of yourself. But I'll tell you something. Look here. Let me tell you something. I gave you the principle a while ago. You take physical pain. If you dwell on that thing, it hurts. I'm telling you, brother. You get a messed up toe or this and that, you know, and just think on it. Just sit there and think on it. Hey, Ben, the other night, when you hurt your finger, when you got your fingers mashed, no doubt. When you sit and thought about it, you're conscious of it. But you know, if you get to talking, we're in an emergency room and talking and laughing at him and all kind of stuff, you know. And that worked, to get his mind off the things. I hope it did some. But you know, you get your mind off everything, you're not so conscious of it. You're not sitting there thinking, my finger, my toe, whatever, you know. Get your mind off of it. Brethren, do for others. Get out of yourself. Which is so much what the Bible tells us to do. Get out of yourself. Do for others. Now, listen. You might say, well, Brother Dawson, what if my affliction is chastisement? I mean, what if God is chastening me? Okay? First thing to do is thank God for it. Thank Him. You're His. Thank God you ain't a bastard. Thank God you belong to Him. Here's 20's youngins. Thank God for it. Then, get right. Don't wait to get right. Get right. Honestly, brethren. My goodness. Fight the good fight, people. Don't sit there and wait to get moved to get right. Get right. And then get busy. Just serious sign that. You say, Brother Dawson, I believe my affliction is, I know God's a whooping the tar out of me. All right, thank Him for it. Get right. Tell Him you deserved it and a lot more. Tell Him that He was merciful in His chastisement. Get right and then get busy. You want attention. You want attention. You're a spoiled. Listen, you know what I'm saying? Get busy. Folks. Look, we're so often like, what did Jesus say one time? Jesus said, what's all like the men of this generation? He said, they're like children. That's so often. That's what we're like. You see a young'un. I ain't got nothing to do. That's about the time it needs, you know, we're going to change, attitude adjustment. You know. What are you going to do? There's plenty to do. They don't want to do it. They don't want to mope. They want attention. They want to do, Rather look here. Don't do that. Don't sit around, what can I do? I'm so bad. Just stop. All right, yeah, you're real bad. I know you are. So am I. Hey, we deserve hell. We're bad. Real bad. And you deserve what God's afflicting you, you deserve every bit of it and a lot more. And He's just been merciful to you. He has been merciful to what He did to you, or allowed to happen to you, because He loves you, and He was merciful. And thank Him for it. Acknowledge that you deserved a lot more, honestly. Then get right and get busy. Why can't you? What's stopping you? Don't worry. If God don't want you to get busy for Him, He'll stop you. Get busy for God. Don't sit there and mope and wallow in that stuff. Alright? Brother Dawson, what if I cause my affliction? Well, it's similar. Confess it. Make it right. Make right what you can. Then get up, get busy, and go on. But also, I'm in such a mess. I can't say I'm in debt. TV commercial. I'm dead up to my balls. You know what I'm saying? You know, I don't know what to do, and I'm in a mess, and I know that I've caused my own trouble, and that's my fault, and I'm just... Okay. Confess it. Admit it. Make right what you can. Get up. Get busy. Go on. You know what? You can have a merry heart again. But how was David able to get a merry heart back? And get the joy of his salvation restored. You know, David went on with his life. You know, he had other children. He went on and had good times. How did he do that? He killed somebody's husband. Took a man's wife and killed her. Killed the man. But you know what he did? He confessed it. He humbled himself. He got right. He got up. He went on. You didn't see David like, oh, God, I don't deserve to live, and I'm just going to stay inside the palace. I'm not going to live no more. No, he got up and went on. Once he was forgiven, he got up and went on. Yeah, but brother, when are you going to get over it? If you've done wrong, if there's something you've sinned and you've caused trouble in your life, have you confessed it, got into the blood of Jesus? Is it right with God? Then accept that, make right whatever needs to be made right, and go on. And get busy. I'm telling you, you'll have many an evil day. Many an evil day. You see, brother, listen, if you wait around for the affliction to stop, you might wait for who knows how long. So we need to find a better way. And that better way is overcome evil with good. Overcome evil with good. In other words, I've got affliction. I feel rotten. I'm just okay. But you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to overcome it with good. I'm going to do right. I'm going to get right. I'm going to get things right. And I'm going to go on. I'm going to get busy and write things. Do something for God. Do something for others. I'm not just going to sit and wallow in my affliction. And you know what? The affliction may still be there. Life will still be there. But you know something? You can have a feast, a merry heart in the middle of that. Oh, every now and then it'll still come. I mean, it's just like when you get your mind off of pain in your finger. There'll be times during the day you're conscious of it again. Just stay busy. Just get busy. Stay occupied. The Bible will look around one day and that thing's better. Oh, B, not that thing you bother me no more. The Bible will look around one day and the afflictions gone. Took care of itself. God took care of me, rather. Things have gone. So brother, look here. You can have that merry heart. You can overcome that evil. But you've got to do it by good. But let me ask you a question. Do you want to be happy? Or do you simply want attention? Now you've got to ask yourself that. Do you want to be happy or do you simply want attention? Now every one of y'all in here, y'all, you've met people that want attention. But they don't want things good in their life. You know what I'm saying? You've met people like that. They don't want things good in their life. Because if things get good in their life, They'd have to do other people good, and they want it all for themselves. You've seen the argument. They want it all. They want all the attention themselves. So they've got to always have something that they can be feeling bad about, so they can. Because Brother Leake said one time, it's a lady in his church. Brother Leake, it's horrible. It's never been as bad. It's horrible. I can't go on. He says, is that bad? It's horrible. I can't go on. I can't make it. He tried to help her. Everything, can't you know? God will help him. That's like on Tuesday. She called back Thursday. Brother Leake, it's the worst it's ever been. He said, that's what you said Tuesday. That's worse than that. He said, well, I said, I can't make it. He said, well, all right now. Now you said you couldn't make it Tuesday. It's Thursday. You made it 2 days. You're all right. He saw her through that next week. It's horrible. It's horrible. He said, oh, well, sister, what? You done made it a week. We're doing good. But if you think about that a minute. You know, but so often that's it. I can't make it. But you're making it. You're making it. But you know what? You could be enjoying it. So you're making it. But you could, wouldn't it be something? I'm going to die any day now. I know it. I'm going to die any day now. It's just a matter of time. I'm just going to, and I'm going in. I'm going to get my hands ready. I'm going to die and live 30 more years. And did you know in the Bible that happened since almost to a man? Isaac got ready to die and had at least 20 more years. He got so ready to die, he went to go ready to bless his boy. He said, I know not the day of my death. And lived at least 20 more years. No, I'm sure. There was a well-known author, and that gal thought she got in her head, man. She was about ready to die, and she lived don't know how many years. But it was about a miserable existence. Just, I'm just waiting around to die. God bless you. How long, when did you get the bad news? 50 years ago. You know, but brother, I'll tell you something. If you're not careful, you'll let it happen to you. I'll just try to make it till Jesus comes. Well, that's good. But you know what? You probably will make it, but you won't enjoy it. Just wish the Lord to get me out of here. I'm waiting for Jesus. Well, man alive, you're wasting the time. Do something for Him. Brother, listen, I'll tell you something. Listen, brother, listen. If you're saved and want to live for God, afflictions are going to come. And brother, I'll tell you something, they're going to increase. Things are not going to get better. Things are not going to get better in this world till God gets you out of here. It's just not. But it's enough of a fight just to keep the news, keep away from the news and get depressed. You know, they'll tell you how high gas is going up, and they'll tell you this, that, and the other, and they'll tell you, I mean, it'll get you all, you know, there's all kinds of things. But and you're going to have things happen. You're going to have things happen. You're going to have sickness. You're going to have all kinds of things. All right. And this world is going to hate you more and more if you love God. And they're going to less and less understand. You know, they're going to less and less understand. And you are, if you really love God and believe that book, you are really more and more going to be in the minority. You can't kill yourself. That's sin. That's sin, kill yourself. Go to hell, brother Doss. No, I don't find that in Scripture. But I do find you'll be demoted. The Bible tells you that if you put yourself forth in the presence of the King, whom thine eyes have seen, you'll be put lower in his sight. You don't put yourself, the Bible says in Proverbs, you don't put yourself in the presence of the King. You let him call you. Not unless you be put lower in his sight. You don't put yourself, just put yourself in his presence. You wait till he calls. Oh, I ain't calling me. Well, that's his business, isn't it? So evidently he's still got you here for some reason. So you can't kill yourself. You're going to have to go on. Why don't you enjoy it? You're right. You're exactly right. This is exactly right. I'm going to go to every theme park in America. And I'm going to enjoy myself. No, you won't. No, you won't. I'm going to get all things my mom and dad didn't let me have when I was a kid. I am. I'm going to have everything I wanted. You know, we have. What do I do? You're busy for God. If you're saved, get busy for God. Get out of yourself. Concern yourself with the kingdom of God. Concern yourself with the souls of men. Concern yourself with doing right by the brethren. Concern yourself with being right and doing right with God.
And you can have a continual feast no matter what. I'm telling you, brethren, you can. You can. You see, if your happiness is tied to anything, you're trapped. Because what happens when that thing is took away? Okay? Let me tell you something, brother. My wife, my kids, I can't even hardly begin to say how much I love them. But brother, I've got to be careful. Because there's only one personage that I can't do without, and that's Jesus Christ. And I need to acknowledge that, because I don't want Him to have to show me that that's so. I want to be careful I don't make a foolish statement like, oh, God, I can't live without her. I can't live without her. Lord says, no. Only you can't live without me. I'm going to have to show you that. But also, wouldn't that be enough? Brother, look here. What if you lost your wife? Brother, I can't even begin to imagine it. But don't them thoughts ever get in your mind like if something was to happen? Sure do, sure. And I immediately say, Lord, I trust you. I say, God, I trust you. You said you'd give me grace. God, I don't really want to have to draw on that grace. I'd rather avoid that thing. God, if it's your will, I'd love for us all to pull out of here together. You know, that's I want the ideal. You know what I'm saying? Of course. But God, I'd rather have to draw on that grace. You said it was there. I trust you. And I just don't think about it. Why should I? Why should I? Why should I get myself into work and let the devil mess me up? And trust Him. Trust Him. But you can't. Listen, I'm telling you, if your happiness is bound up even in your family. See, I'll tell you something, brother. I'm for family, but family gets overemphasized almost today over to the exclusion of the things of God. God first. You put God first and there'll be time for your family. Don't you forget that. Don't you forget that. Big thing today, you know, everything's family oriented. I understand that. I understand that. But don't swing to an extreme to where you fail to not do right by God. You do right by God, there'll be time for family. Don't you worry about that. Don't you worry about that. I'm just telling you, you can't have joy and peace and happiness and contentment without Jesus Christ and Him first. You can't. Nothing fits the bill but Him. Nothing. Listen. Let's go back real quick. We're just about done. Proverbs 15. Proverbs 15, verse 15. All the days of the afflicted are evil. Well, Brother Doss, why don't the Lord just take the affliction away? He will in heaven. No affliction in heaven. But here, there's affliction. Why, Brother Doss? Why, sin cursed earth, sin cursed bodies. Sometimes God allows the affliction because you and I need it. We need to grow. There's something He wants to develop in us, and it can only be had by affliction. Okay? That's just all there is to it. Brethren, you'll find that you do some of your bestest growing in days of affliction. That's just all there is to it. You see some things that you really couldn't have seen any other way. Brethren, you see, there's a difference between getting something in theory and then really getting it. And many times the way you really get it practically is having to go through something. So God will allow affliction in your life to teach you. God will allow affliction in your life to chastise you. Sometimes there's affliction in your life because you just flat caused it. And sometimes it's just a natural flow of events. You know, brethren, look here. I mean, brethren, you come into this life, you're going to go out of this life. And this life, because of sin, is full with sin, death, and pain, and sorrow, and it's just all there is to it. I've heard of people like, why'd God let my mama die? Oh, okay, you're special. Everybody else's mama in the world can die, but not yours. Come on. You know what I'm saying, brother? Why'd God let my daddy die? Why'd God let your daddy die? Oh, so your daddy's the only one that's important? Every other daddy died, you know, from Adam on, man. Sin has cursed this earth, and man, what you saying is death. All right? And we come in, we're going to go out. And those things are hard, and they hurt. But God's got grace. Brethren, listen, I'm trying to tell you that you can have a merry heart and a continual feast. Oh, you're going to, don't get me wrong, if somebody dies, of course you're going to hurt. You're going to look through a period of grief in the morning, and but it don't have to last. Now, I'm not saying that the scar won't always be there. Brethren, I got scars on my body, you got scars. Does that mean the arm don't work no more? Does that mean, you know, okay, you're scarred, but you go on. Never will forget. Never will forget. When I dislocated my arm, when I went to the emergency room, then I was about to set my arm. Because it was, you know, this part was up here. Not good. All right. And I was dreading it. I was like, I'll pass out, man. You know, when they jerk that arm, I'm going to... But, you know, thank the Lord for morphine. Hey, I'm serious. I remember the doctor saying, they put me on Demerol. I remember the doctor saying, well, get some more. Because they were doing an x-ray and I was yelling. I couldn't tell I was yelling. I could just hear a voice. I thought, that's my voice. But I didn't feel anything. So what happened was, I heard the doctor say, morphine. Last I heard. I mean, it just worked. I didn't get nauseous. I didn't anything. I just went out. I remember waking up and she was beside me. And I said, hope you're going to set my arm. She said, it's done. You talk relief. You talk about relief. Well, the doctor came in there and he said, look, he said, don't, you know, be careful with this. Well, I couldn't do anything with it. Bandaged up here. And he said, you know, so that next week, I had my first appointment with a physical therapist and to get another cast put on. He said, have you been using it? Well, doctor said, don't do anything. I said, I was proud of it. No, sir, I hadn't been. Why hadn't you been using it? You just set it behind. I'm like, I wanted to cry, man. I'm like, you remember that?
No.
Thank you. Okay. No. I'm supposed to either stop the tape, or you're supposed to either look the other way or something. You're not supposed to say that. Anyway. You were with me. Because I remember you got upset that he said that. But anyway. But you know what happened, brother? When I went, I thought to myself, I thought, wow. You know, I thought I did what I was supposed to do. But anyway, they wanted me to work it. To get the usage back. Okay? So every day I had to go home and just take a big can of green beans or something and just let my oil hurt so bad. Just let that, to get the motion back in that thing. Now you know what? Hey, I was afflicted. All right, but you know, if I babied that thing and catered it, I'd have never got the motion back. I want to tell you something, brother. It was God, but I want to tell you something. I'm not trying to take credit neither. It was God, but I want to tell you this. I did what I was told. I went to that doctor. Look here. On the last day of my physical therapy. Check this out now. The last day of my physical therapy. See, the doctor looked down there and he seen no insurance. he said, okay. So he looked at me and he goes, I see you have insurance. I said, is that right? He said, well, tell you what I'm going to do. He said, I'm going to give you some things to do at home. So you won't have to come in, but I want a week to get checked. He said, I'm going to give you some things to do at home. He said, I want you to do this every day. He said, then, in fact, he kind of, in a roundabout way, said that it was just as good as any kind of therapy. A lot cheaper. Anyway, here's what he told me to do. And this doctor told me, he said, you've had a major injury and you'll never get full use of that arm back. But he told me, he said, go home and twice a day, get that arm under hot water, and then take a thing of green beans or something like that, just a can, and sit in my hand and let it take my arm all the way down. Oh, man, that hurt so bad. And let it do all the way like that. When I first went to him, this is as far as I can move that arm. The last day of therapy, he said, well, let's see what movement you got. And I went like that. And I promise you, his eyes got like that big. He said, you've got it all back. I promise you, his eyes got that big. He said, you've got it all back. I said, yeah, I reckon so. I'm able, you know, he said, because I touched that. His eyes bugged out. Here's what I give the glory to God, but I did something God expected me to do. I did what I was told. You know what I'm saying? I did what I was told. I didn't sit there and like, oh, man, my arm can go. What have you got to bend? You've not done what I'm supposed to do. Brethren, you can sit around with an affliction, be it physical, mental, emotional, you can sit around or you can do something. You can go through this life and end up and die someday and just had evil days the whole time. Or you can have the continual feast of a merry heart. At least some of the time. How do you do it? Well, if the affliction's not taken away, you've got to do something about the pain of the attitude. And what you've got to do is, like I told you before, pray. Read your Bible. Do the right things of God. But get busy. Do something for others. Don't sit around and think. Don't sit around and think on your affliction. Do something for God. Do something for others that will glorify God. Don't just do something for others. Do something for others that will glorify God. That being His will. Are you under chastisement? Thank God for it. Get things made right. Get busy and go on. Have you caused your affliction? Confess it. Make right what you can. Get up and go on. Alright? And in doing so, I really believe you won't have to have just evil days. You can know some of the continual feast of a merry heart. Father, we thank You for this night. Lord, help us to lay it to heart and help us to not, Lord, just be forgetful hearers, but be doers, Lord, of Your word and these principles.